from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
Did it again. You just arrived to the season 8 finale of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rockstar wannabe host, David Strausser, and this is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. Again, this is our season 8 finale. Unfortunately, we've got to cut this season short, and we'll be back in a few months. Don't worry. Going to take a little bit of an extended break. I mean, I think this is 243 episodes and working through some things, but we will be back bigger and better than ever very shortly. So today we're going to be talking about having a fighting chance to win not only in life, but your business as well. Who do we have today? None other than Deb Crier. Deb's unwavering stance is clear. Fine isn't an option in the face of cancer. Having experienced its impact both personally and professionally, she rejects the status quo. For Deb, the genuine cure for cancer transcends medicine. It's about embracing life wholeheartedly. So without further delay, let's bring Deb and kick off season 8's finale right now.
Business strategy.
Deb, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You just became shark bait.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much for coming on. We have a tradition on the show. We ask every single guest, doesn't matter how famous or infamous you are, which is, hey, what's your experience? What's your background? Basically, in a nutshell, tell us what makes Deb Deb.
Well, I am pretty gosh darn special. I'm not sure about famous or infamous, but, you know, I like to think I'm special, right? But what makes me special is I am a warrior. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an only child. I'm from a very small town in Colorado, and now I live in the gigantic place of Atlanta. But I am a warrior. In 2015, I was diagnosed with cancer, with breast cancer, had, you know, kind of some ups and downs. The final diagnosis is stage 4 metastatic triple positive breast cancer.
Oh,
sounds horrible, right?
Yes.
About died several times, all sorts of things, been through all sorts of different things, developed skin cancer. So that was number 2. But it was easy peasy, right? Zip, zip, zap, zap. And that was that. And then last summer, they said, guess what? You've got thyroid cancer. And I was like,
oh,
that's annoying. I said words that we can't say on this program, right?
No, no. YouTube does not like those.
I know. They get mad at those words. And so I just said, oh, shucky darns, right? And to get my thyroid gland removed, that was surgical procedure number 33. So I've been kind of through the ringer, but you just keep going, right? Yep. I tell people every day that I am not looking up at 6 feet of dirt is a good day. So we started an initiative called tryingnottodie.live to help anybody else who might be on this journey, whether themselves or someone they know.
Wow, that is amazing. In fact, you have a phrase that says, no matter what, just L-I-V-E, live, okay?
Right?
What is... I mean, LIVE's an actual acronym for something. Explain to me, what is LIVE? What is that acronym to you?
Right. Well, so it's trying not to die dot live. And so the premise is that when we have something so serious that happens to us, we get so engrossed in trying to not die that we forget that we really have to live. And whether that's 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years. So it is an acronym. You need to lead your tribe. You know, like I said, I'm a warrior. And so I build my tribe around me. And then we're going to invigorate your soul. You need to put yourself first because it is your life that's on the line.
Right.
And then voice your feelings. You know, we have to be honest. The only thing that is actionable is truth. So many times people say, hey, Deb, how you doing? And you go, I'm fine. Yep. And that's, you know, you're never fine, right? Sometimes you're really good. Sometimes you're not. But yeah, no, we have to be honest. And then, of course, elevate your mindset because we are going to know that no matter what, we will be fine with what happens because we're going to be living.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let me ask you, for people that are out there in bad spots, whether it's cancer, as you have had numerous times now, You know, and it's really empowering to hear your story and how many times, you know, you've kind of, I don't know if I want to say embrace, if that's the right word, but
it's okay. We can say embraced.
Okay. Like just kick butt with it. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you get people to elevate their mindset, which with such negative, you know, potential consequences? That's hard. I mean, coming from a sales world, you deal with rejection every day, you know? And you've kind of got to block out the rejection and focus on the positive. Is it kind of the same thing or is it different?
It is. You know, and I think a big part of it is we do need to acknowledge that it sucks, right? And whether it's something as simple as like the little skin cancer on my arm that they just took off very quickly or something like stage 4 cancer, because that doesn't go away. And so we acknowledge it. We know that those feelings are always there. And then we go on. You know, because we can either be dying or we can be living. And so that really is what we need to decide. What is it that we're choosing? And even if we're healthy, there are so many people, right? We know those people who are just waiting to die.
Right.
No, you know, we got to live every single moment, whatever it is.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, you do have to live, not let things get you down and just kind of, you know, find a way to move forward. I think some people kind of struggle with that.
They do. And a lot of it is because so many times you're alone, you know, and even if you have people around you, you feel like you're alone. And yeah, we are the only people going through whatever this is. You know, nobody else had surgery. Nobody else had chemo. Nobody else had all those things. But it's about making sure we're not alone and letting those people in. And it's the tough part is, I mean, you know, I'm an only child. And so I'm going to do it by myself. I don't need help, right? And I'm an independent woman. No, we all need other people. And we need to let them help us. They want to help us. So let's honor them by letting them do that.
So as part of the honoring of that, I mean, you have something that you call the I'm fine syndrome. Let's dig a little bit deeper into that, because I think that's an important topic to talk about.
You know, it really is. Like I said, you know, people will say, how are you doing? I'm fine. Whether it's your doctor, whether it's your friend, whether it's your spouse, all of those things. And that's just our standard answer. Right. Whenever we were probably first starting to talk, how you doing? Fine. Right.
Right.
And, but a big part of it, we don't want to bother people. We don't want to intrude, you know, and in many cases, we don't want to admit it. We don't want to admit it is not a good day. So, you know, if you're answering that question, you know, again, be honest. Now there is TMI, all of those things, you know, if it's just somebody in the elevator saying, hey, David, how you doing? You can say, I'm fine. And that's perfectly acceptable. If it's, you know, your friend, somebody who really cares, then you can say, I'm having a really great day. I'm feeling good out there, kicking it, doing everything. Or, you know, it's not a good day. I've, you know, woke up and just didn't feel right. Things aren't going quite the way I wanted. But it is about, you know, doing those things. And nobody's a mind reader, right?
Right.
You know, and especially doctors. I mean, that is one of the things, because we all do that. The doctor says, how you doing? I'm fine. And then we're annoyed when they didn't catch whatever was wrong.
Right.
You know, I remember my dad had that happen one time. He was, when he was, you know, getting up there in age, he went to the doctor. He came back. I said, well, what'd they do with your sore throat? And he said, well, nothing. I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, I said, what, when you told him you were sick? And he said, oh no, he's the doctor. He should just know.
Right.
He got shipped back to the doctor, right?
So what are some of the questions that he should have asked his doctor?
You know, for any of these, you, and so let's deal with it. You know, if you have cancer. So some of the questions are, what type of cancer do I have? Not just, you've got cancer. What are the survival rates? What are the treatment options? What alternatives are there? Is my lifestyle going to have to change? You know, what are the first steps? All of those various things. And I always tell people, when you're having those first really serious conversations with your doctor, where you're asking those questions, take somebody with you. You know, when we go to the doctor and we've got the flu, you go home and you go, when was I supposed to take that medicine? You know, and when we know we have cancer, our brain shuts off. And so we need somebody else who's going to ask those questions, who's going to write down those answers, who really is going to make sure that we stay on track and we get the answers that we need. But, you know, that the doctors and, you know, or any of your care providers, again, you have to ask the questions. There now, they might say some specific things, but you need to ask those things that are maybe on your head, you know, that are just kind of noodling around in there. It's interesting. I love my oncologist. I've been there for 8 years, right? And they have signs on every door that says, or every exam room door, if you did not get your questions answered, do not leave this room.
Oh, that's great.
I love that, you know, because we, you know, sometimes they all, you know, they start looking at the watch or somebody knocks and they says your next 49 appointments are here. You know, but yeah, for something this serious, nah, you make them answer your questions. I've made them come back when I've gone, I forgot something, you know, and of course there's other ways to communicate with your doctors, the doctor that is managing, because I'm like the bingo card kid, right? You know, I have all these different doctors. And so the one that the endocrinologist who treats my thyroid cancer, he uses online really, really well. And I can send him a question and it's never gone more than a couple hours without him answering, you know, during the business
day. Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, he's fabulous at it. And so that's one of the ways where I get my questions answered for him or from him.
Oh, that's great. So I've got to ask, I mean, you have so many health issues, you have a podcast, you're an entrepreneur. How do you manage all of that?
Oh, sometimes I go a little crazy. You know, I told somebody yesterday, can I clone myself? Really? You know, it's one of the big things, and I'm still learning this, is to delegate. You know, now obviously I can't delegate my health stuff, but I can delegate work. I do a lot of volunteer projects, so I can make sure that I'm delegating there. It is about staying kind of somewhat organized. I mean, some people are better at it, but most people are better at it than me. But, you know, it's been funny because I stayed working the entire time. Now, one of the times when I have major complications, I was in the hospital for 7 weeks, pretty much out of it that whole time. But most of the rest of the time, hospitals and doctor's offices have really good Wi-Fi and I can work wherever I have internet. So I just keep working right along. And I think it's also good for my soul and my brain because it gives me something else to be focusing on rather than, oh, how pitiful am I today? But yeah, you know, it's just, we've all learned how to, you know, now we all know, you know, sometimes multitasking, we don't get anything done well, right? But we all do multiple things at the same time, whether we're, you know, not healthy, whether we have a bunch of kids, whether, you know, all of these things. And so it just kind of gets thrown in there with everything else.
Life-work balance, I guess you can say in a way.
Kind of, except, you know, there's no balance because that's, to me, balance is 50-50, right? It's what fire needs put out right now is maybe the easiest way to do it.
No, totally understand. What about the finding humor during your cancer journey? How important has that been to you? Because I always love to have humor on the show and I've had guests throw zingers at me and I've thrown a few zingers at guests and we've had some good laughs in the past. And it always makes it fun when you're learning about business
you
or hearing someone's story
fun.
To laugh.
Yeah. You know, it's one of these. Now, we know that physically and mentally, there are very valid reasons for humor. You know, it releases endorphins, all of these various things. And so you want to do that. But, you know, I finally have all of my doctors used to the fact that when something happens, you know, like when they, you know, who knows what I'm going to say now, you know, yes, there are times you shouldn't be humorous. You have to be serious. But, you know, they always know, what is your name and date of birth? And I look at them and I say, Anastasia Beaverhausen. And, you know, and now in the, I'm actually, even though this diagnosis was in 2015, I'm still in treatment. I go in every 21 days and have an infusion. And so they have decided that I'm not Anastasia Beaverhausen. I am Princess Anastasia Beaverhausen, right?
There you go.
And so, yeah, you know, and you really do have to have as much fun with it as possible, because it's, you know, it is pretty icky, but if we can poke fun at it, and I'm poking fun at myself, would never make fun of somebody else. I'm laughing at myself, and so that's kind of the best thing. I've had weird things happen, like I obviously lost my hair. And it all came back. This is my hair. Yes, this is my. Okay. But I've had people tug on my hair. And I'm like, what the? And they said, well, we wanted to know if it was a wig. And I'm like, no.
You couldn't just ask.
Would you have pulled it off? I mean, it was just,
crazy.
I mean, humorous things like that. You're like, I can't believe that happened. I cannot believe that happened.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, you have to laugh. And my kidney doctor says, and I see her every 3 months, I spend half my life in doctor's offices, but she tells me, she says, I love it when you come in the office because you make me laugh. And she has a horrible job, right? It's a wonderful job, but it's also very emotional. And she loves it when I'm in there because I'm laughing and I'm joking and, all sorts of things. And she, they actually try to schedule me for like after she's been over at the hospital doing the serious stuff, because I bring her back up into laughing at things.
That's awesome. That is so cool. I mean, I feel in business period, humor is just critical, right. Again, especially in the sales biz dev side of the world.
Right.
It's one of the things that really, I think, separates me as sales rep, as a biz dev specialist, executive, whatever it may be at that point of time in my life, from other people, is that I can get the people in the room to laugh, even if it's a quirky or corny joke.
Right.
They're smirking because I'll say the things that everybody's thinking, but no one will say out loud, and I do it the right way.
Yeah.
And I make myself impressionable upon those people.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to the old adage that we do business with people we know, like, and trust, right?
Right.
And humor is a huge part of that, because it brings us down to all the on the same level.
Definitely. One last major question before we start getting some info about you and all your projects and stuff like that. Let's talk quickly about the unsung heroes that you have during this journey of cancer and any other types of problems like that.
Yeah. My unsung heroes are definitely the people. Now, people would say that I'm the hero. No. The caregivers are the people who are our heroes. My husband, obviously, top of the list, could not have survived any of this without him. But it's everybody who helps take care of us. Mm-hmm. I have some absolutely wonderful friends who really stepped up and said, what can we do? Other family members, people like that. And I think what happens is a lot of times we just assume that they will do that. No, even if they're going to do that, we still need to be so incredibly grateful and thank them. That was always what my mom would say. Don't forget to say thank you. It really is something that, even if I'm not feeling good, I'm like, thanks for bringing me the thing that I threw up in.
That is great. So, Dev, I mean, you have such an empowering, amazing story, and just how you've kind of got through all these different health struggles and are still getting through all these struggles. I mean, I can't imagine how taxing it is running a business, doing a podcast, and yet having to go in for an infusion every 21 days. That's got to be crazy. Like, you're an inspiration, I think, for everybody out there listening to Shark Bite Biz right now. Please tell us, how can people get in touch with you? How can they listen to your podcast? Mm-hmm. What other things do you want to promote?
Cool.
Throw it all out there. Let's hear it all.
I love it. Well, if you really want to know about the initiative, it is www.tryingnottodie.live, L-I-V-E, so not .com, .live. And on there, you will find ways to contact me. We also have a Facebook group, and the links are there. It is a private Facebook group. And it's private only because I don't want the, shall we call them, snake oil salesmen to, who are going to cure us. You know, I don't want them to be part of the group. And so we do have this great group. It's a very safe place for people to share the good and the bad, and so we do that. My podcast is thebusinesspowerhour.com. Been doing it a long time. Need to have you on as a guest. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. It is a business podcast that lasts an hour. It's funny how sometimes people don't get that, right? But those are the best places. You can find me on LinkedIn. Now on LinkedIn, I'm Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. But there's not a lot of us. I think there's 3 Deborah Creers in the whole world. So I'm pretty darn special, like I said.
Yes, you are.
So it's pretty easy to find me. I think I am the only one with this bright red hair.
Yeah, that is amazing. And as every guest out there knows of Shark Bite Biz, we will have the link down to Deb Cryer's information right down below that little blurb we're going to put about the episode for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm
and like
honored.
I said, it's
I'm
such
so
an incredible and inspiring
you.
Story to hear. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
Yep. Cheers. Wow. That was a wholehearted, really just true, deep conversation with Deb. It was incredible and amazing, wasn't it? First, though, you all know the routine if you found this interview helpful. If it sparked those warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know Shark Bite Biz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, please do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, you know, share us out to your friends, your family, your colleagues, anywhere you dwell on the interwebs. You know, we grow and bring you experts each and every week just to help everybody grow with the 3 G's, personal, professional, and business growth. So please like, share, subscribe the channel, and, we'll be extremely grateful. So anyways, thank you, Deb, for coming on. This was such an inspirational story for us all to hear about how you just keep fighting on and look at the positive things in life. That is incredible, and I hope your story went out there and touches somebody that's watching. Question of the day. What have you fought through to keep your life positive? Leave a comment down below on YouTube. Do you want to be on the show? Interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Please, if you're watching a channel, join the channel. $3 a month. Every dollar in is every dollar out. And I guess I'm signing off for season 8, and we'll be back in a few months. Y'all know this by now, but I'll say it for the last time for a few months. I'm David Strausser. This is Shark Bite Biz. We'll see you all next season. Cheers.
You've just experienced Shark Bite Biz with Dave Strausser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Till next episode.